This week we are beginning a new Masechta, Masechta Yevamos, a very exciting, somewhat challenging Masechta. In the yeshivas they say that the acronym Ani, Ayin Nun Yud, stands for the three perhaps most difficult Masechtos in Shas, and that would be Erevin, Nida, or possibly Nedarim, and last and certainly not least, the Yud is Yevamos. It's very hard to get all the family pictures in order and to have everything clear in one's mind, but we'll do our best. So before we even start, we know that Yevamos is the first Masechta in Seder Nashim. And the question is, why is that? So the Kahati in the Mishnayos says that, well, as opposed to Kiddushin, which would have been the more natural choice, it's the start of a marriage. Well, marriage is something a person can choose to do or not to do. Beis Din can't force a person to get married, but Yibum is an obligation. And we'll explain what Yibum is. And therefore we start Seder Nashim with a Masechta which deals with an obligation more than one that begins with something optional. Tosfos Yeshanim says that, interesting that we start with Yevamos. Normally we have a concept that we don't begin something with Puranios, with something negative. We're not mocked in Puranios. We don't bring on negative things earlier. And the whole background to Masechta's Yevamos is someone has died. And so Tosfos Yeshanim wants to know, why would we begin with such a negative event? So Tosfos Yeshanim answers that we have a pasuk which says, V'haya emunas itecha chosen yeshuos. And itecha is seder moed, chosen is seder nashim. Seder nashim has to come after seder moed. What does seder moed end with? What's the last masechta in seder moed? Moed katan. Moed katan deals with avelos and puranios. And therefore, we want to juxtapose the puranios, the negative aspects of avelos at the end of Masechta's Moed Katan, to the puranios of Yevamos, as the Gemara in the first parak of Baba Basra tells us that Sefer Malachim ends with destruction, and it's followed by Sefer Yirmiyahu, which is all about destruction, which is followed by Yechezkel, which is the beginning, also has destruction. Tosfos Yeshanim gives two more answers. One of them is, we start with Yevamos because we say which women first are Usher and Mutter, and then we begin to tell me what I can and cannot do, but we have to know who's Usher and who's Mutter. And number three, he notes that Yibum is actually the first mitzvah in the Torah for women. As it says by Tamar, Ba'el Eishas Achicha V'Yibemosa, that Tamar actually was involved in the process of Yibum, and therefore that's why we start Seder Nashim with Yevamos. Okay, so what is Yibum? Yibum means you have two brothers, we'll call them Reuven and Shimon. Reuven's married to a girl, we'll call her Rachel, and Reuven dies, and Reuven and Rachel never had any children. So there's a mitzvah in the Torah for Rachel to go and marry Reuven, her deceased husband's brother Shimon, and perform Yibum, which means to sleep together and marry each other. And from there, they will hopefully have children and they'll carry on the name of the deceased brother Reuven. If, for whatever reason, which we'll see in the Masechta, Yibum cannot be performed, there's also another option, which is Chalitza. If Yibum can be performed, but perhaps for a technical reason, then there could be a Chalitza ceremony, which involves Rachel spitting in the shoe of Shimon. But that's essentially the background. But what our Mishnah is going to discuss is what happens if the girl that Reuven marries is somehow related to his brother Shimon. So as an example, let's say Shimon, the Mishnah will discuss the examples, but if Shimon has a relative that then ends up marrying Reuven, now you can imagine what happens. If Reuven dies, that woman will have to fall to Shimon in Yibum, but the problem is Shimon's not allowed to marry that woman. The Torah only permitted Yibum in the context of the Isser Ishasach, which means the Torah said, if a standard scenario where Reuven's married to Rachel and now Reuven dies, even though normally a woman's not allowed to marry her husband's brother, the Torah said in Yibum it's permitted, but not another type of arayos. So says the Mishnah, let's begin. Chamesh esrei nashim, potros tsaroseyen, v'tsaros tsaroseyen, min hachalitza min hayibum, ad sof ha'olam. So there are 15 women who are arayos, meaning it's going to be a woman who married Reuven, who is also related in a different way to Reuven's brother Shimon. And if that woman would then fall in Yibam to Shimon, not only would she be exempt from doing Yibam with Shimon because she's related to Shimon in some way, but also if Reuven was married to a second wife, which was permitted back in the day, if Reuven was permitted to Rachel and another wife, not only is the wife that's actually related to Shimon, not only will she not be doing Yibam, but the co-wife will also be putter from doing Yibam, and any future co-wives will also be putter from Yibam and Chalitza forever and ever, and the Gemara will explain these different phrases. The Elohim. Now the Mishnah is going to list the 15 Arayos, which like we said, are going to be a woman that marries Reuven, but somehow is related separately to Shimon. Okay, number one, Bito, Shimon's daughter. Now Rashi and Tosfos both say over here, this is not referring to Shimon's daughter through normal circumstances, because in a couple cases later, we're going to have the case of Bas Ishto, which means the daughter of Shimon's wife. This refers to Bito Me'anu Soso. It refers to Shimon was Ma'ane. Shimon raped a woman. They, from that Bia, a daughter was produced. So that's called Bito Me'anu Soso. If Shimon's daughter that came about through the fact that he raped a woman, if that daughter then marries Reuven, his brother, and Reuven dies without children, now that Bito is going to be putter from doing Yibam with her father, Shimon. Number two, Bas Bito, Shimon's granddaughter, the daughter of his daughter, Me'anu Soso. If that granddaughter marries Reuven, his brother, and Reuven dies, again, putter. Number three, Bas Bino, same situation, just it's Shimon's granddaughter, but it's the daughter of his son, not his daughter, Me'anu Soso, okay? Number four, Bas Ishto, this is Shimon's daughter, the daughter of his wife, and the chiddush here would be, even if his wife brought this daughter into the marriage, this might not be his blood daughter. Nevertheless, if this daughter went and married her uncle, whether it be her blood uncle or just her uncle through marriage, and then Reuven dies, this woman would not be able to do Yibam with Shimon. Number five, Bas Bina, this is Shimon's granddaughter. It's the daughter of his wife's son, might not be his blood granddaughter, or Bas Bita, Shimon's granddaughter, the daughter of his wife's daughter, or Chamoso, which would mean Shimon's mother-in-law. So Shimon's mother-in-law, let's say Shimon's father-in-law passed away, and his mother-in-law remarries his brother. Not necessarily recommended, but this is what happened. Again, if Shimon's mother-in-law, after Shimon's father-in-law passes away, marries Reuven, his brother, and Reuven dies, Shimon's mother-in-law will not be performing Yibam with Shimon. Number eight, Im Chamoso. This is Shimon's mother-in-law's mother, who then remarries Shimon's brother Reuven, again, after her first husband dies. Or Im Chamav. This is Shimon's father-in-law's mother, again, who remarries Shimon's brother Reuven after her first husband dies. Number 10, Achoso Mi'imo. This is Shimon's half-sister. Shimon and this sister share the same mother, whereas Reuven and Shimon are brothers that share the same father. So now, Shimon's half-sister is not related to Reuven at all. They don't share either parent, and therefore she would be permitted to marry Reuven. But again, if Reuven dies, Shimon's half-sister will not be performing Yibam with him. Number 11, Achos Imo. This is Shimon's aunt, his mother's sister. Whereas again, this is all from his mother's side. Whereas Reuven and Shimon are brothers only sharing the father. So this woman's not actually Reuven's aunt. Now Rashi over here does point out the necessity of Reuven and Shimon needing to be brothers specifically sharing the same father. And that is because, Rashi points out, the only time there is a chiyuv yibum is where two brothers share the same father. I mean, if they're full brothers, fine. But if they're half brothers, it needs to be half on the father's side. It's derived from a word, achua, that comes up by the Bnei Yaakov. And we know over there, they share the same father. Number 12, Achos Ishto. This is Shimon's wife's sister. If she ended up marrying Shimon's brother Reuven, and then Reuven dies, Shimon's wife's sister would not be permitted to do Yibam with Shimon. Number 13, Eshes Achiv Me'imo. This is, let's say Reuven and Shimon had a third brother, Levi. So Shimon's brother Levi's wife, where Shimon and Levi are half brothers that only share the same mother. And then Levi dies. And now Levi's wife marries Reuven. Remember, Reuven and Levi are not related to each other. Shimon is half brothers with Levi from his mother's side. Shimon and Reuven are half brothers from the father's side. So Levi and Reuven are not actually brothers. So if Levi's wife marries Reuven after Levi dies, that would still be usher to do yibum with Shimon. Number 14, Ishes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. So over here, the case is where Reuven's married to Rachel, dies without children, but when Reuven dies, Reuven's mother is pregnant with another child. After his death, the mother gives birth to a son named Levi. It's a third brother, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. In the meantime, Rachel does Yibum with Shimon, the brother who was old enough at the time of Reuven's death to Yibum, and Shimon has another wife. So Shimon now is married to Reuven's ex-wife and another wife. And then, this family seems to have very bad mazel, then Shimon dies, again, without children. And now both of these wives fall to Levi in Yibum. I guess it's a couple years later, so now Levi's old enough to be part of this process. So we say that both of those wives are putter from doing Yibum with Levi. Why? Because Reuven's wife, who married Shimon, was usher to Levi. Because Levi was in the womb at the time when Reuven died. So that means Rachel was Levi's Ishesach. Now it's true, Levi was only a fetus, but he wasn't born yet. There was no mitzvah of Yibum on Levi, because Rashi points out, the only time there's a mitzvah of Yibum is when two brothers coexist in this world for any amount of time. But Reuven and Levi never coexisted. And even though now you'll tell me Reuven's wife is falling to Levi in a different capacity, now she's the former wife of Shimon. Rashi tells us a very important yesod, fundamental idea, which is that once there's a zika, once Reuven dies, we freeze that moment, and whatever status a man or a woman has at that moment, they will carry it with them for the rest of their lives, no matter who else they will marry subsequently. So at that very moment, Rachel was usher to Levi because even though Levi was a fetus, she was an Ishesach. She was the wife of Levi's brother. And there was no mitzvah of Yibum because Levi and Reuven were not in the world at the same time. And therefore she carries on that status, that usher status of Ishesach, even though later she marries Shimon and falls to Levi, not really as Reuven's ex-wife, but now as Shimon's ex-wife. Nevertheless, Ishes Achiv Shlo Haya Ba'olamo is usher to do Yibum. Number 15 is Kalaso. It's Shimon's daughter-in-law. So Shimon's son marries a girl, and then Shimon's son dies, and now Shimon's daughter-in-law goes and marries Shimon's brother Reuven. Shimon is still usher to have Yibum with his daughter-in-law, as the Isser of Kalaso, of daughter-in-law, is going to be an Isser La'olam. It's never going to change. Even if the son dies, the Isser to be with a daughter-in-law applies for one's entire life. Okay, so that's all the cases of the 15 Arayos. So says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, continuing, Hare Elu Potros Tzarosehen, Vitzaros Tzarosehen. These 15 Arayos, they pater their co-wives, meaning if Reuven's married to one of these Arayos and another woman, and then Reuven dies, not only is one of these 15 women not shayach or putter from doing yibum, but also the co-wife is also putter, and also co-wives and co-wives of co-wives, as the Mishnah will explain what that means. The kulon and all these women in mesu omianu onisgarshu oshinimtsu islandis tsarosehad mutaros. Like we mentioned before in Rashi, the key here is we freeze frame the moment when Reuven dies. So if when Reuven dies, he was married to two women, one of them being the Arayos of Shimon, and one of them being a regular woman, that's when we say both of these wives are putter from Yibum. But let's say, before Reuven's death, the woman that's related to Shimon either dies first, or does Miyun. Miyun means that she rejects, she says she doesn't want to be in this marriage anymore. Rashi points out, Miyun really only applies to a Ketana. And yet over here, it's very clear she has a father, Because if we're talking about Shimon's daughter, Shimon's still alive. So how is there a case of Miyun? So Rashi points out there's something called Yisoma B'chaye Aviha. Sounds like a contradiction. You have an orphan even though her father's still alive. How is that possible? The answer is that Shimon married off his daughter when she was a ketana to a man, and then his daughter and that man got divorced. And because she got divorced, now she's essentially on her own, so she has the ability to do miyun, even though her father is still alive. So if either this woman dies before Reuven dies, or does miyun, rejects the marriage, which would completely disintegrate the marriage, as if it never happened, Onis Garshu, or this one of these Arayos divorces Reuven before Reuven dies, Oshinim to Islandis, or it's found to be that one of these Arayos are a woman that doesn't really show signs of being a female, she doesn't produce the same type of estrogen, and she doesn't have the physical features of a female, possibly she can't produce children, which would also invalidate the marriage. In all these cases, what comes out is at the time Reuven dies, he's not actually married to two women. He's not married to the Arayos anymore. Either she died, she rejected the marriage, she got divorced, or she was found to completely be this islandist that also would make the marriage disintegrate. In all these cases, when Reuven dies, he's only married to one woman. And if that's the case, this one woman who's not related to Shimon is permitted to do Eben with Shimon, because she's no longer a co-wife of one of the Arayos at the time of Reuven's death, and we freeze frame the status of any woman at the time of the death of Reuven. V'iyach ha'yachol lomar, b'chamoso, b'im chamoso, u'b'im chamav, shnimtzu ailonis, o'shamienu. The Mishnah just points out that two of these four possibilities, that the woman either is rejecting the marriage because she's a ketana, under the age of 12 or 12 and a half, or she's found to not have any signs of being a female and likely cannot produce children, those two possibilities would not apply to three cases in the Mishnah. That is, Shimon's mother-in-law, and the mother of Shimon's mother-in-law, and the mother of Shimon's father-in-law. In all those cases, we know two things. We know that all three of those women have had children, and therefore they can't be an islandist. And also, we're talking about three generations down. They're already grandparents. So it's no possibility that they could be a ketana. They can't be a young girl. And so both those possibilities, the Mishnah is pointing out, do not apply to the case of mother-in-law, mother of mother-in-law, and mother of father-in-law. So now the Mishnah is really going to state explicitly what we've been elaborating on this whole time, which is Ketzad Potros Tzaroseyan. How does it work that one of these Arayos, if they are a co-wife with another woman, that when Reuven dies, both women will not be obligated to do Yibam with Shimon? Haisa Bito Oachas Mikol Arayos Ha'ilu. If you have, let's say, Shimon's daughter, Mianu Soso, or any of the other 14 Arayos in the Mishnah, Nusuos La'achiv, are married to Reuven, Velo Isha Acheres, and Reuven has a second wife, Umes, and then Reuven dies, Kishem Shabito Ptura, just like Shimon's daughter, who's married to Reuven, cannot possibly do Yibam with Shimon, Kach Tzarasa Ptura, so too the co-wife, who is not related at all to Shimon, but by the very fact that she's a co-wife with one of Shimon's Arayos, it also exempts her from doing Yibam. So we have to understand here is, just because these wives of Reuven cannot do Yibam on Shimon, that doesn't mean Yibam's over. If there are more brothers, let's say Levi, a third brother, then just because these women can't do Yibam with Shimon, they move to the next brother, and they could try doing Yibam with Levi. So in fact, that's what happened here. If you had a case where the Tzaras Bito, you had Reuven was married to two women, Shimon's daughter and another wife. So it's true, when they fell to the Shimon, both of them were exempt from Yibam. But you know what? The co-wife of Reuven goes and Venises Lachavashini goes and marries Levi and does Yibam with Levi, because that's permitted. Velo Isha Acheres. And Levi already had a wife. So now this woman, Reuven's second wife, now becomes Levi's second wife, Umes, and now Levi dies. So really, they should be falling in Yibam to Shimon. No. Kishem shetzaras bito petura, kach tzaras tzarasa petura. The chiddush here is, again, this woman, Reuven's co-wife, she takes her status with her into every single marriage she goes into. And therefore, when Reuven dies, one of his wives was Shimon's daughter. The second wife was the tzara, was the co-wife. That co-wife gets branded as putter from Yibum to Shimon because a co-wife of Shimon's arayos. That label gets branded on her, and she carries it with her into Levi's marriage, so much so that when Levi dies, not only can she not do Yibum with Shimon, but now she was the tzara in the Reuven marriage. In the Levi marriage, she is obviously putter from doing Yibum with Shimon, but now her tzara, Levi's wife, other wife, is also putter, because that wife was the co-wife of a wife that was usher to Yibam with Shimon. It's a little complicated, but essentially what we're saying is, afilu hein mea, the Mishnah says, these women keep their statuses wherever they go. And so no matter if there are 100 brothers, if this one woman goes into every single one of those marriages, no matter what, all the women that she's co-wives with are always going to be putter from Yibam with Shimon. So Ketzad, in Mesu Tsaroseya Mutaros, so what's the case that if she dies, now all of a sudden the co-wives are mutter? So again, we said this out already, but now we'll see it inside the Mishnah. You have Shimon's daughter and the other 14 arayos who are married to Reuven, and Reuven has another wife. Mesa Bito Onis Garsha. Let's say now Shimon's daughter, who's married to Reuven, either dies or divorces Reuven. Viagat Mes Achiv, and only then afterwards Reuven dies. Tsarasim Uteres. Reuven's second wife is permitted to do Yibam with Shimon because, like we said before, at the time of Reuven's death, this woman was not a co-wife with an arayos, so she's perfectly permitted to do Yibam with Shimon. The Mishnah just ends off. You have a ketana, and now all of a sudden she had the opportunity to do miyun, and she doesn't. So tzarasa choletz lomas yavemes. So her co-wife would do chalitza na yibum. The Gemara will elaborate on this later, but essentially what we're saying is that a woman, when she's still a ketana, her kiddushin is only midirabanan. It's only midirabanan until she reaches the age of maturity, and therefore she's not really on a d'oraisa level, let's say an arayos, but she's also somewhat married. So chalitz over here is like the middle ground where she looks like a tzaras erva, but she's not really, and therefore we say chalitza. The Gemara will explain, but that's the simple understanding of that last line. So says the Gemara. The Gemara now, for the next 25 lines, essentially, is going to discuss the order of the 15 arayos in the Mishnah. So says the Gemara, Michti, Kulhu Meachos Ishi Alfinon. The Gemara later on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, will tell us that even though the whole mitzvah of Yibam is predicated on the fact that you have an Ishesach, Reuven's wife, it's her brother-in-law, yet the Torah permitted a woman to marry her brother-in-law in the context of Yibam. The Gemara later on Daf Gimel Amud Beis says explicitly, we have a pasuk that tells us that when it comes to Achos Isha, when it comes to one's sister-in-law, the sister of one's wife, there is an Isser, no Yibam. It's very clear. So again, in that case, you have Shimon's Achos Isha. If Shimon's wife's sister marries Reuven, so now you have two brothers married to two sisters, when Reuven dies, that sister cannot do Yibam on Shimon because of Achos Isha, and the Gemara derives that from a pasuk. Not only that, that pasuk is the foundation of the Isser of all arayos to do Yibum, except for Ishesach. And they're all derived, the other 14 arayos in the Mishnah are derived from a drasha, from the base pasuk, by Achos Isha. So the Gemara wants to know over here, if we learn out the other 14 arayos that when they fall to Shimon, there's no Yibam. If we learn that all out from the base Isser, which is Achos Isha, that's the one the Pasuk's referring to, then listing Achos Isha Bereisha. Why didn't the Mishnah, when it was listing the 15 Arayos, why didn't it list Achos Isha first? If that's the prototype, that's the classic, that's the one the Pasuk refers to, and everything else is just derived from that. So when we're discussing an order of 15, let's use Achos Isha as number one. So the Gemara is going to offer three possibilities here. Number one, the Chitema Tani Chumri Chumri Nakat. Maybe the Mishnah was listing the Arayos in order of severity of punishment. Rav Shimon hi to Amar Sreifa Chamura. There's a machlokes in Maseches Sanhedrin as to which of the death penalties is the most severe. Rav Shimon holds it's Sreifa, it's burning. So if you notice, the first several cases in the Mishnah of Bito, Bas Bito, all the way, Rashi tells us, all the way to Chamoso, they're all Chiyuv Sreifa. So maybe the reason why the Mishnah chose to start with the cases it did is because the Mishnah was going from the most severe punishment and then going down. The Gemara says, well, Ihachli, if that was the case, listni chamoso bereisha, it should have listed mother-in-law as case number one. The ikar srefa bechamoso ksiva. Because the pasuk in the Torah that describes the iser srefa for committing arayos is actually referring to the, which arayos? The arayos of a mother-in-law. As Rashi points out, the pasuk says, "Ish asher yikach es isha ve'es ima." If a man sleeps with a woman and her mother, meaning now this woman's his wife, but he sleeps with his mother-in-law, so zimahi, but ish yisrofu. It's very bad, and he'll be burned. So if the ikar pasuk by Srefa is the case of mother-in-law, and you're telling me the Mishnah's listing in order of severity, I understand that, but it should have given the classic case, the case the Pasuk discusses, it should have listed that case first. It should have listed Chamoso first. Va'od, and furthermore, Basar Chamoso, listening Kalaso, the Basar Srefa, Skil Chamura. And also, even after the Mishnah lists all the cases of Srefa, the next on the list, after listing those cases of Srefa, should have been Kalaso, daughter-in-law, which is actually last on the list of 15 in our Mishnah. Why should that have been next? Because if you hold like Reb Shimon, that Srefa is the most severe death penalty, well, the next most severe, if we're going from most severe to least severe, is Skila. And a daughter-in-law, a person who sleeps with his daughter-in-law gets Skila, whereas all the other Arayos listed in the Mishnah only get Kares. And not only, it's not a good thing, but it's not as severe, according to Reb Shimon, as Srefa and Skila. So this answer is rejected, because it just doesn't fit into the order that the Mishnah provides. So possibility number two, as to why the order of the Mishnah is the way it is, and we didn't just start with Achos Isha. Bito, Kiva, de Asya, Midrasha, Chavivale, says the Gemara, you're right, we were going to start with Achos Isha. That's the paradigm. Why did we start with Bito, with Shimon's daughter? Because we're not talking about Shimon's regular daughter here. We're talking about, remember, Shimon's daughter from a woman who he raped. Now, the fact that Shimon's usher to that daughter is only derived from a drasha. It's not explicit in the Torah. It only talks about Shimon's blood daughter within the context of a marriage. And so the fact that that arayos of Bito Mianusaso is derived from a drasha was very chaviv, was very dear to those who compiled the Mishnah, and they chose to put it first. The fact that it required toil, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed them to partake in the process of deriving halachos, it made it very dear, and that's why they chose to put the arayos of Bito Mianusaso as the first arayos on the list of 15. So now over to Gimel Med Aleph. So the Gemara, well, Kulunami Drush Asu. I mean, besides for Achos Isha, the other 14 arayos in the Mishnah, or 13 minus Bito, are also all derived from a drasha. Because, like we're going to say in Gimel and Beis, it says that if a person's Achos Isha falls to him in Yibam, he can't do Yibam. The other 14 are derived from a drasha linking them to Achos Isha. So it's not only Bito Menusoso, which is derived from a drasha. All the other arayos besides for Achos Isha are also derived from a drasha. Says the Gemara, but not the same thing. Nehi dilani yibum asya midrasha. Yeah, it's true. In terms of the fact those arayos the mitzvah of Yibam doesn't override them. That's where they were derived from a drasha. But Iker Isurayu behed Yiksiv, the fact that someone and his daughter-in-law, or someone and his mother-in-law, the fact that those are Rayas or Usser, those are explicit in the Torah. As opposed to Bito, when it comes to someone's daughter through a woman who he raped, Iker Isura Midrasha. The very fact that that's an Isser of Arayos is from a Drasha. The Amarava, Amarli Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, what's the Drasha? Asya Hina Hina, Asya Zima Zima. Rashi points out that we basically learn by the Pasuk of a rape victim, the Pasuk says, Ki Ervascha Hina, it should be an erva to you. And then it says later on, in a context of marriage, She'era Hina. So we derive, as Rashi says at the end, Ma Hasam Bito Kibas Bito, Afkan Bito Kibas Bito. Just like in the context of a marriage, a person's daughter is Aser, so too in the context of a rape, the daughter is also Aser. And then also Zima Zima tells me that that daughter, if a person sleeps with that daughter, Mianu Soso, he will get Srifa, just like a person who slept with his blood daughter in the context of a marriage. So the Gemara says, if this answer is really true, that the reason why the Mishnah ordered it the way it was because it wanted to put Bito first, because the fact that it was derived from a drasha is very dear, then listening la'achos isha l'besof, then we have a problem, because if you're really holding so dear drashos, this would be the order. Number one is Bito, because the Iker Isser is from a drasha. Then the next 13 should have been all the other arayos which are derived from Achuz Isha that has an Isser of Yibam. It's true, those drashos are not in the context of the Iker Isser, only on the Yibam, but still a drasha. So you have Bito number one. The other 13, which have some level drasha by Yibam, those should be 2 through 14. And have Achuz Isha be number 15, because it has no drashas, neither for its Iker Isser, nor for the fact that Yibam's Usser, it's Beferish in the Pasuk. Says the Gemara, you're right, but Aidi da'ayri be'isar achosa tana achos ishto. You're right, the Mishnah was going to put achos ishto at the end, but you know what? The Mishnah was listing cases that involved the sister. It said the one before it was achos imo, which was the sister of one's mother. So once we were talking about sister relationships, the Mishnah felt compelled to throw in there at that moment the sister of one's wife. Says the Gemara, that doesn't really answer our question. Well, in the middle 13, right, you have Bito number 1. In the middle 13, who told you to put the sister ones in the middle? Why don't you put all the sister ones at the end, so you have Achos Imo, let's say, as number 14, and then you can follow it with Achos Ishto as number 15. So essentially, because of that question, we reject the second possibility. Possibility number 1 was the Mishnah was going from most severe punishment to least severe punishment. We rejected that. Possibility number 2 was we were going the most dear, which were drashos, and going down. We said we also rejected that. Now, finally, answer number 3. Elatana kurve kurve nakat. The Mishnah was listing relationships that were the closest relationship in terms of arayos. So, says the Gemara, Tana bito ubas bito ubas beno. The first 3 are daughter, granddaughter, granddaughter. The kruve atzmo. Those are all blood relatives to Shimon. The closest in relationship to Shimon. Va'aydi detana shlosha doros lamata didei. Once we discussed 3 women who are under Shimon in his family tree, tana nami shlosha doros lamata dida. Then the Mishnah proceeded to list 3 women that are under the family tree of his wife. And that's why next was Bas Ishto, Bas Bina, and Bas Bita, his wife's daughter, and his wife's granddaughter, and his wife's granddaughter. Then, that gets to 6. Then, Va'aydi Detana, Shlosh Doros Lamata Dida, once we just mentioned 3 women that are under her family tree of Shimon's wife, Tana, Shlosh Doros Lamala Dida. Then we went 3 women who are a generation higher than Shimon's wife. And that's why the next 3 cases were Chamoso, his mother-in-law, Im Chamoso, his mother-in-law's mother, Veim Chamov, and his father-in-law's mother. That gets us to 9. Then, B'tana achoso v'achos imo. Then you tell me his sister and his mother's sister. Dekrubi atzmo, because those are, again, blood relatives to Shimon. That gets to, right? V'aydi de'ayri be'isser achua. And once we're dealing within Isurim involving a sister relationship, Tana Achos Ishto, then it taught Achos Ishto, which is his Shimon's wife's sister. Now that's up to 13. So we have two left. What do we have? Ishis Achiv, Shlohayo Ba'olamo, and Kaloso, and daughter-in-law. Now says the Gemara, Ubedinu Deliktame Le Kaloso, Makme Ishis Achiv Shlohayo Ba'olamo. Really, Kaloso should come first. Well, in terms of Kurva, neither of these women are really blood-related to Shimon at all. And therefore, the Gemara thinks we should put Kaloso first, because at least if we can't do it based on Kurva, says Rashi, let's do it based on the severity of the punishment. And we know Kaloso has a more strict punishment, Skila, than Ishes Achiv Shlohaya Ba'olama, which would just be Kares. So really, neither of them have kurva. Delomishim kurvahu da'asiri. So why does Kaloso come last if it really should come before Ishtach Shabolamo? Ella, I did the ayri b'israchua. Because again, once the Mishnah is listing cases that discuss a sister type of relationship or a brother type of relationship, sibling relationship, Tana Ishtachiv Shlohaya Ba'olamo. That's why it taught that case, remember, where Reuven died and Levi, his brother, was still in his mother's womb. But again, that's an issue of siblings. And only afterwards, Bahadur Tana Kaloso, and the last case in the Mishnah, number 15, was the case of Shimon's daughter-in-law, which although it might be more severe in the punishment, but it doesn't have any sibling connotation, and that's why it was put last, and that explains the order of the 15 Arayos in the Mishnah. We'll stop here.